Hey everyone, welcome to the Racing Writers Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Crandall. My guest today is an up-and-coming driver, you would say. He's a rookie in the Camping World Truck Series. Blaine Perkins drives the number 9 Chevrolet for CR7 Motorsports. He is a rookie, first full year. He did run 8 Xfinity Series races last year, getting his feet wet in NASCAR, and now he has jumped into the deep end of the pool, trying to learn all he can in the Truck Series. Blaine is 22 years old, comes from Bakersfield, California. We're going to learn about his background. He is mostly familiar with short tracks running in the ARCA Menard series. So, of course, road courses, intermediates, dirt tracks, that's all new for him this year. We're going to talk about that. What is realistic for his team, learning as much as you can with limited track time, and so much more. Blaine and I met for the first time a couple weeks ago. He is a member of the Team Hornaday Development Program, and they were nice enough to ask if I wanted to come in and work with their drivers on some media training aspects, and that is where I met Blaine, interacted with him, and was really impressed and wanted to have him on the podcast. So today is very much getting to know, as I said, a newer driver, maybe someone we're not all familiar with, but hopefully we'll hear his name quite a bit in the coming years. Blaine and that number 9 team have finished 21st at Sonoma. They were 22nd at Gateway. Those are their best finishes this season, happening, of course, in the last couple weeks. So the climb continues for Blaine and that CR7 Motorsports team. I hope you enjoy the conversation. I hope you learn a little bit about this driver like I did, and I hope you enjoy it. Here's Blaine Perkins on the Racing Writers Podcast. We'll figure it out as we go. Have you done podcasts before?
Yeah, usually. I've done a few. Nothing with holding a mic.
Okay, well, look at that. You experienced something new today.
That's right.
Holding the microphone. All right, Blaine, let's break down the season. Driver of the number 9 for CR7 Motorsports. We're about halfway through the truck season already. Break it down for me. Recap it. The good, the bad. Is it going well? What have you done right? What have you done wrong? Just give me your overall thoughts on how it's gone so far.
Yeah. So like you said, the good and the bad. We've had a lot of it this year. It's been a tough year at times. It's been a good year at times. So being my rookie season, we knew we were going to have some up and downs going into Daytona. I think we all felt really confident. Had some fast trucks. We started off the year pretty good with some good speed. Just a little bit on the unlucky side, gotten a few wrecks first few races. And then probably during this big 8-week stretch of ours, we've struggled a little bit. So we've gone to some mile and a halves for the first time. For me, definitely a big learning curve. I think that's the biggest thing coming from the West Coast. We don't have many mile and a halves. So trying to go to these for the first time has been a challenge, especially in these trucks. They drive so much different than the Xfinity car I drove last year. So getting used to that. And then this past weekend, I felt like was a good barrier over the mile and a halfs, kind of a break. It felt like a short track, kind of felt a little bit more like something I'm used to. It showed our speed a little bit more again. So again, gotten kind of a wreck, but I think we got our career best finish this year in the trucks. So looking forward to getting home, getting to California this weekend in Sonoma, a track I've been to, which is probably maybe one of 3 on the schedule that I've actually been to. So just hoping this weekend's a good one in Sonoma.
We are recording after Gateway. So you recorded a 22nd place finish, your best finish so far. Before that, it was a 25th on the Bristol dirt. And you said there about not being familiar with mile and a halves, because you do. You come from the West Coast, which is mostly what? Short tracks. So that's where you're most comfortable. You didn't even have any dirt experience, I don't believe, right? So you're doing a lot this year that you've never done before.
Yeah, absolutely. In the truck series, I knew coming into this year, their schedule's so diverse. So, and I was looking forward to it. I mean, it's a lot of fun going to all these brand new racetracks for the first time. Like you said, I kind of even forgot about the dirt race. That is completely out of my realm. That
was just kind of Knoxville's coming.
Yep, I know. You got to remind me. That's next week. But it's fun. I mean, it is fun to go to these new racetracks. I've been testing a Dirt Legend car, which I guess is helping. Yeah, at least it's on dirt. It's not on asphalt. So it's just, again, something new that I'm learning. And especially in these big 3,000-pound trucks, they're not meant for dirt. So it's just fun to throw them around.
So for a rookie season, again, we're halfway through. Are you where you thought you would be at this point, you as a driver, or did you think you'd maybe have a little bit more growth and behind you right now? Like, where are you at as the driver when you evaluate yourself?
Yeah, so I mean, as a driver, I think growing throughout the year has been a big point of like importance for me, making sure that at each, every race we go to, I'm getting better as a race car driver. We're getting better as a race team. And like I said, we struggled a little bit there for a couple weeks of those mile and a halves, but towards the end of it, I think we started hitting our stride a little bit more. Obviously, it's not exactly what we've wanted. We've had some tough luck with some wrecks this year. We've had some tough luck with some mechanicals at COTA, rain in Martinsville, not making that race. So there's just been some things that just haven't quite gone our way. But like I said, I think Gateway was a good turning point. We had some top 20 speed for sure, gotten one of those wrecks, and we were able to still fight out a good 22nd place finish. I mean, the truck series is extremely competitive this year. So I think just showing the top 20 speed, the finishes will come, and hopefully the second half of the year, they start coming a lot more.
What's been the best race you feel like you've driven so far this year? What's the one you're most proud of?
I would probably say Gateway.
Yeah.
Like I said, it drove kind of like a short track. I mean, if I had to put Gateway into my perspective, it would be like turns one and two is maybe a Martinsville or a road course style turn, and then turns three and four really felt like turn three at Pocono, which I've been to a few times now. So something I felt familiar with, and I felt like the truck we had was good, and we can make some really good adjustments on it now. And going to these tracks coming up, I feel like now we have a better idea of what the truck is doing and what I need it to do better so we can do better as a team.
Limited practice, though, how much is that slowing down the learning process? Because I think some people would say, well, there is practice this year, and these drivers, some of these younger drivers, like, they got to figure it out, like, they got to get better. But if you really think about it, you guys don't have that much track time. I mean, 15 to 20 minutes, you're not learning a whole lot. And maybe you're doing stuff during the week, you're doing virtual laps, but nothing beats the real thing. So is limited practice, you feel like, slowing down the growth maybe?
I think absolutely. I mean, 20 minutes of practice is difficult, mm-hmm. Especially being a rookie, not going to most of these racetracks. But it's what we got. I mean, last year I had no practice. So I went into the years thinking like, okay, great, 20 minutes. I don't even know I'm going to be excited for it. And I don't know, I almost feel like it's the opposite. I almost rather everybody kind of be on the unknown going into turn one on the first lap. Green was a little bit better. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's been difficult in the 20 minutes of practice. It's really about just learning the track as much as you can and not even really working on the car or anything. It's just kind of 20 minutes of just laps.
Because you can't really change anything. You can change maybe your balance, but you can't pull shocks and spring. Like, you can't make big changes if that truck is not unloaded and ready for that racetrack, right? Like you said, you're getting, it's basically a warm-up of, okay, let me figure out the track. But as far as the truck goes, if we're off, whoo, we're in for a long weekend.
Yeah, it is. With the next-gen practices, the changes we're able to make are very limited this year. So it's pretty much similar changes you can make in a race. Mm-hmm. So like you said, it's all about building a package throughout the year to where when you go to that similar racetrack later in the year, you're that much closer, and where you unload, you're a lot closer. And obviously these guys have never had a full-time driver before, but they've had drivers like Grant Enfinger in the car last year. So trying to use his setups from last year, but then tune them to my liking, because every driver is different. So that's been the biggest challenge over the past few races, going to these mile and a halves, just getting that balance that I feel that I like in the truck. And now that I think we have a better idea of that, when we go back to these, whether it be Nashville or Kansas later in the year, I feel like we'll have a lot better handle on the truck for these bigger tracks.
When you're racing around veterans and you're every Friday or Saturday, you're in these truck races, are you able to see what other people are doing and saying, man, I still have a lot to learn, I can't do that? Or do you pick up on things maybe? Can you see what other drivers are doing or what other trucks are doing and kind of make mental notes of, okay, well, I still have a long way to go?
Absolutely. I mean, you're always trying to learn as much as you can, whether it's just even in practice. I tell my spotter, Timmy Fidua, all the time, get me out behind somebody fast. Like, I want to see what they're doing, because I feel like that's the best way for me to learn.
Yeah.
So whether
because
it's in practice,
you can see what mm-hmm. they're, right? You can pick up a driver to driver. You can notice what that driver's doing.
Absolutely. You can follow their lines. You can see what they're doing. You can talk to the drivers even afterwards if you have like an open communication with them. What was your truck doing and what were you doing to try to help that situation? So there's just a lot of things I feel like you can do outside. I mean, obviously we're already kind of in a box with limited practice, so we're trying to do as much as I can, at least for learning, and whether it's following people, whether it's asking the questions to the right people. There's a lot more that goes into it than just the 20 minute practice, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I like that. So it sounds like you're a visual learner. Like, let me watch somebody, what somebody else is doing, and try to pick up on it.
Yeah, I've always been kind of a visual learner, like you're talking about. I think the biggest thing I've always done over the past, well, 2 years with the limited practice and no practice has been I watch the YouTube as much as I can. So whether it's two or three races the years before at the racetrack I'm going to, and try to get some in-car footage of exactly where they're entering and pick up on certain markers on the racetrack and just understand, like listening to how they roll out of the throttle. There's so many things that I feel like I can do by watching a YouTube footage, as opposed to I also get on iRacing and just try to look at visual markers on the racetrack. I'm not necessarily one that's going to go out on iRacing and race all night long. I think I use iRacing, like you said, as a lot more of a visual learner for me.
How quickly are you able to get over things? We've touched on it. It's been an up and down year. So when you go through a rough stretch or a rough weekend, how quickly you personally, can you get over stuff and put it behind you quickly? Or are you someone that just needs time to digest it and kind of let me have my pity party and then I'll get over it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm pretty good about getting over things quickly. I think you have to be in this sport. Things are going to happen. You're going to have good races. You're going to have bad races. So you got to just make sure that you're always trying to better yourself as a team. And then as soon as the weekend's over, there's nothing you can do about it. So you got to be looking forward to the next week.
What's realistic for you in this nine team weekend to weekend for myself as media, for fans, when we're following this team's progression, what's realistic when we look at the results and your performance? What should we say? Okay, that was a good weekend. That was a bad weekend. Besides the obvious of, you know, DNFs and crashes, those are bad, right? But what's realistic of what this team can do?
Yeah, I think we have some speed that we've showed in these past few races. So just about putting these full races all together, making sure that we can get some clean races in here. And I think we have top 20 speed for sure, top 15 at certain tracks we've had. So I think Darlington, we were going to run top 15 for sure and got another wreck there. So it's just been up and down, like I said, and just learning each and every time I'm out on the racetrack, with whether it's the people I'm racing against, whether it's the racetrack. There's so many different variables, but definitely just trying to put these full races together.
You have a lot of resources around you. I like that you get to work with Timmy Fidua, who's obviously a veteran spotter and has a lot of experience, has worked with a lot of great drivers. So I'm sure he's helpful there. The Hornaday Development Program, tell me about that and kind of what's been the benefit of being involved and around people that also have a lot of motorsports experience that might be able to help you in many different ways.
Yeah, so that's one thing that I've been trying to tell people that I've learned from coming back here. There's a lot more to being a race car driver than just going fast on a racetrack. And I think everybody at Team Hornaday Development has done a really good job of mentoring me to become the best race car driver I can be on and off the racetrack, whether that's social media, whether that's interviews, any kind of media, fan relationships, just, and then obviously the pre-race, like, making sure you know exactly what you're supposed to do, be somewhat professional on how these meetings go. I mean, everything's just so new to me. I've never had debrief meetings before, and I've never had pre-race meetings, and just kind of understanding what a typical week in a race car driver's life is has been a big change for me, getting used to that. And I think everybody at the Hornaday Development has just helped me bridge that gap for sure.
Do you have a Ron Hornaday nugget at all, or something that stands out, or a piece of advice?
Oh man, I've got a lot of things that he's told me. I don't know if I should be saying any of those right on here, but no, Ron's awesome. I actually live pretty close to him, and he's always telling me to come down to his shop and work on cars with him. In case you don't know, I'm not very mechanically inclined. So whether it's just going down and talking to him, he's got so many great stories about these different racetracks that I go to. I always try to lean on him. Even at racetrack after practice, I'll call him and just say, like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Like, I know you haven't been in a car in maybe 10 years, but still anything you say is extremely valuable. So like Sonoma, I don't know if there's anybody really better than Ron Hornaday going to Sonoma. And even though I've been there, I've been listening to his stories and how he gets through certain corners. So now that I kind of know that, I've just got to do it, which is the hard part, but it's awesome to have him on my side for sure.
Yeah, it's something to where even if you can't go work on a car with him, but being able to just spend that time and just listen, you never know what you're going to pick up on.
Yeah, and it's the same thing even going to the race shop. Just all the guys know that if I'm working on a car, that's not a good thing. Like, I can probably take things apart pretty well. I can organize them very well, but it don't make me put anything back together because I wouldn't even want to drive that race car. But like I said, just going to the shop and having a good line of communication with the guys and just having a good time. I know they work extremely hard, so just trying to pass the hours for them if that's what it is, or go out to lunch with those guys and just trying to make it a lot of fun to where when we do go to the racetrack and we have these good finishes or even a bad finish, it just, at the end of the day, it's still fun and we all want to just keep doing this each and every week. Yeah.
So Blaine, you're a first generation driver, as we talked about, come from the West Coast. So how did you get here? How did you get interested in racing? Take me through it.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story, actually. When I was about 8 years old, my dad and a bunch of his buddies from work had an indoor go-kart league. And I asked my dad week after week, hey, I want to go. And they kept telling me no. There are a bunch of guys in their 30s, 40s having a good time. They don't want the 8-year-old coming in. And eventually I got them to let me in 1 week and I beat them. So that's when I was like, okay, I kind of like this go-karting thing. And from there, I went to my local go-kart track. Same go-kart track that Kevin Harvick got started at, and a lot of great racers in Bakersfield. So Bakersfield's definitely a racing city, and getting started in racing and go-karts there at about the age of 10. From there, I moved to the Bandoleros and Legend Cars and kind of the more oval scene when I was about 11 or 12, and then stock cars full-time when I was 14. I was old enough. I became the youngest winner in Irwindale history at 14. I think I won in my fourth or fifth start, which is pretty cool. There was a lot of really good competition at Irwindale, and I still think it's probably one of my favorite late model tracks in the country. So just, there's just been so many different things throughout my years. I'm running Canaan West for 2 or 3 years and ARCA West and the ARCA series. So just making that transition from the West Coast to the now out here to the capital of racing, Mooresville, Race City, USA. But it's been a lot of fun, and I'm just really excited to have this opportunity this year with everybody on the number 9 team for CR7.
I want to touch more on the adjustment from West Coast to East Coast in a minute, but I think it's also important to note, you mentioned some things there, the racing ladder that you've climbed. You're in trucks now, but you're still running other stuff, right? Are you still doing some Legend stuff? And we were talking earlier about you've got a go-kart out there, so you're still getting behind the wheel whenever you can get behind the wheel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a race car driver, I've been told this my whole life, like, seat time is everything. So whether it's going out to GoPro once a week and then going out and making 30, 50 laps in a go-kart, especially going to Sonoma this week. So, or it's going to a Legend car race that's on the dirt because I don't know what I'm doing on dirt. And so I'm going to see if I can pick up something new, because I think every time you get on a racetrack, you're learning. So especially when you're out of your comfort zone, and I know they look completely different, but I'm sure there's something I can use that will help me for Knoxville or even at a mile and a half, who knows. I think just as much as I can grow as a race car driver, the better I'll be.
All right, so you get into racing because you see dad and his buddies. I was looking through Instagram. I came across a picture of a young Blaine Perkins in looked like a Jeff Gordon jumpsuit or a jacket or something. How old were you when that picture was taken? And I'm assuming that once you got into racing, you became a NASCAR fan, judging by, again, Jeff Gordon and the rainbow colors.
Yeah, so I was probably 2 or 3 at the time, I would guess. I don't remember.
You were very young.
Don't remember, but that was my dad. He was a big Jeff Gordon fan. So, I remember watching every Sunday, watching the NASCAR races ever since I was a little kid. And so, I mean, just getting into racing has just been really cool. I mean, I don't think my parents ever thought I was going to be a race car driver. I think they're both happy with whatever I want to do. And to be able to have them support me so much as far as moving back here with me, literally my mom, me, and my dog packed up our car and just moved across the country one day in December. And that's kind of how it all started. So it's just a really cool story. I mean, I'm just so thankful to have so many good people around me that support me and give me the opportunity to do what I can.
Well, now, why become a race car driver? Because there's plenty of people that become race fans, right? And they get really passionate about racing. And you saw your dad do it. Then you're following Jeff Gordon because your dad's a Jeff Gordon fan. But what was it that one day you said, well, I want to do that, and go from just being a fan who likes racing to I want to do that?
I've always been pretty competitive. So I'm sure that has a factor in it. But I don't know. I think I used to just go to the indoor go-kart track, like I said, and have a good time. I mean, I remember racing at the indoor go-kart track. The guy that worked there, he had like a school for kids that were super young and how to drive the tracks and certain things like that, how to use the gas, how to use the brake. And later on, I ended up racing against him out at the actual go-kart track, and I always remember him. I mean, he's the guy that taught me how to drive. So it's just pretty cool. I mean, racing is just such a cool family and everything about it. I love racing. I love NASCAR and just everything about it, whether it's the fans, whether it's the family aspect, whether it's just the competitiveness, the drive to keep winning, to keep getting better. There's just so many different factors, but they all go into why I chose to be a race car driver.
So that West Coast to East Coast adjustment, as I said, we were going to bring that up. Besides the fact that the food is completely different, what has that adjustment been like, not just from a racing perspective, but being someone who's native to the West Coast and coming here to the East Coast? And as you said, your mom came with you, so that must have been very helpful.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to skip over the food real quick, though. The food is much better back home. Yeah. I miss the food. So my first stop tonight is In-N-Out, 100%. I am flying to Sonoma tonight, and I will be finding the nearest In-N-Out. But yeah, I mean, just, it's funny, the way of life is a lot different from California. I think everything's a lot more fast-paced out there. I say the people are nicer here in North Carolina. I just think that's because you get a wave when you go in, and it's just, it's a different feeling. I don't know how else to put it other than you just live in different parts of the country, and I love home. I still miss home all the time, but over the past few years, I don't know. I mean, is Mooresville my home forever? I don't know. Hopefully, as long as I'm a race car driver, I want to be here. And it's cool to be able to have this experience to move across the country and see how the different parts of the country work, and to race all over the country and meet the different fans and the different people from all over the country. There's just so many cool different aspects to it.
I've had drivers, fellow young drivers on the podcast who, like you, started racing at a young age, and then they move out of their parents' house, or they move to North Carolina like you did, and then they come across this where they figure out, well, now I have to learn to do things on my own, like pay bills or laundry or taxes or whatever it is. Are you one of those? Are you starting to learn now that this is what adulting is like?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. Like I said, I've got mom back here, so I've got laundry covered, but I actually was going to college before I ended up moving out here. So while I was running ARCA West, I was attending college in Pepperdine University. So I had moved out for about a 6-month period there. I did learn how to kind of be an adult, kind of. I had to get my own groceries. I had to cook my own food, and not very good food, but a lot of Top Ramen for sure.
Hey, don't knock it. I lived on that in college.
Yeah, exactly. I think everybody does. It's too easy to make for me. So I'm like, I can't mess that up. Yeah. Don't forget the water.
Exactly. Don't forget the water.
Yeah. Obviously, you can tell that's from personal experience.
Yeah, one ingredient.
But yeah, I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You're very lucky, like you said, in that regard. College, you mentioned that. I wanted to bring it up. Where are you on that? You were going to school. Is that something that you'll pick back up again? Have you picked it up again? Do you want to finish getting your degree?
Yeah, I definitely want to finish getting my degree. As of right now, I'm not in school. I have a leave of absence from Pepperdine right now, but they're very good on, I was able to kind of talk to the school and say, this is kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity I have to move to the East Coast. It was last year now, and run my select races in the Xfinity series. And from there, now I'm full-time here, living back here, full-time in the truck series. And I felt like I wanted to really focus this year on the full-time aspect of being a race car driver. It's a lot different running 6 races, 8 races, as opposed to 8 weeks in a row now. So I wanted to focus on that. And they were just really behind me and said, if it comes to a time that you want to come back here, you always have a spot here. And that's what I love about Pepperdine for sure.
Business management, was it?
Yes.
All right. Why that major? What drew you to that?
So the jobs I've worked in the past, my family is a part of like the grape industry, which is very big in the Central Valley and Bakersfield and the surrounding cities. So I've grown up around that my whole life. I've worked in that industry and just kind of that business side, the marketing side. There's a lot of different aspects to it. So that was something I was interested in that I felt like I could also relate a little bit towards the racing side, the business side of racing. At first, it was international business. I thought that sounded a little cooler, but then I realized I had to study abroad, and being a race car driver, I couldn't do that, so I had to switch. But no, I'm super happy, and I think that's a good degree for me, and if I continue to pursue that degree, and I don't know, who knows, maybe go to law school. I don't know. There's a lot of different things after that that I could do.
It's nice to keep your options open, though, right? Because I feel like you understand that something could happen to take racing away from me at any time, or just have a backup plan if it doesn't work out, or, you know, one day when the time comes that it ends, if you're not ready to stop working, if you're not in that position where you can just, again, have backup plans.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been told that from since I was a little kid. Racing is awesome and all, but school's number one. I always had that promise with mom that I was going, when I turned 18, I was going to college. Yeah. So I was happy I graduated from my community college, straight A's, got into a really awesome college of Pepperdine University out in Malibu. And just to be able to have that opportunity to go back whenever I'm ready is really, really neat.
So you make it to the Truck Series. We've covered that. You ran a bunch of Xfinity races last year, got to dabble over there. Again, we kind of recapped the ladder here. How big of a jump, though, Blaine, is it going from ARCA, because you've run that too, to NASCAR National Series, whether it was Xfinity last year or now Trucks? I mean, how big is that gap that maybe people don't understand?
It's definitely a big gap, especially from going from ARCA West, which is what I've mainly ran, mm-hmm. as opposed to the ARCA National Series. We don't necessarily follow the NASCAR tour as well. So going to all these new racetracks has been the biggest thing, I think. Obviously, the cars are different, but throughout my lifetime, I've raced a lot of different cars and trying to always be that race car driver that can adapt to whether it is a new race car or a new racetrack, but going to a completely different styles of racetracks now, whether they are the intermediates of the mile and a half, or we have the Darlington-esque racetracks, which I don't even know what to call that, but that's just a really cool racetrack. You got triangle racetracks like Pocono, you got road courses all over the country. So there's just so many different styles of racetracks out there that we go to, as opposed to just our normal kind of half mile, quarter mile, third miles out in California.
All right, let's end it on this. Kind of a fun question, but who is Blaine away from racing? Who is Blaine Perkins that fans don't know about? Maybe hobbies, interests, things you do away from racing?
Yeah, so I mean, it's funny. This is something that's come up recently in like our Team Hornaday Development social media classes. I keep wanting to say like, okay, my life is boring as a race car driver. I do the same thing each and every day. When in reality, I mean, it's different, but to me it might be boring, but my kind of ritual is I get up in the morning, I go to the gym, I go to the race shop, try to go there for a couple hours with the guys, make sure I'm ready for the weekend as far as race seats and all that kind of stuff. Make sure I have all my clean laundry, and there's a lot of different things that go into a race weekend. And then usually we're gone from, whether it's a Thursday we leave and we're back on a Saturday night. And so just trying to maintain your just overall status as a race car driver. I mean, there's a lot emotional, that there's physical, there's so many different aspects to it. So you're just always trying to stay on top of your game. And then outside of racing, I would say a hobby of mine that I've done since I was a little kid, I've always played chess. So I used to play that a lot when I was younger, and I've gotten back into it a little bit over the past few years. I used to play a lot of, I went to the chess nationals, so it's nice. kind of a big geek question or answer there. But, yes, I went to the chess nationals in probably 2008 in Tennessee. So I'm not as good as I used to be, but it's still something fun. It takes my mind off of racing. And I think I use that kind of style of thinking in a race car as well. I mean, I try to really think through how things are going to happen before they happen in a race car, which is good and bad. I mean, you can't predict everything, but I think just I'm very thought-driven and very, when it comes to a race car, I want to think I at least know what's going to happen before it does, so I'm prepared.
Yeah, that's the complete opposite of racing. I like that.
Yeah, it's a different approach, but yeah.
Much slower.
Yeah, exactly.
Calmer.
Uh-huh. But I'm still competitive, so I still want to win.
Right, exactly. No, and I respect that. I think that's why we're bonding here. I very much like the competitive nature. So just tell me real quick, when you play chess, do you have to do it online, or do you have people you can play with in person? How does it work now?
Yeah, so I definitely don't play with anybody in person. My parents never were good at it. I used to beat them all the time, and stuff like that. Kids from school didn't really play much. So I there's like apps online.
Yeah, just there's apps for everything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just have a fun time, and whether it's going to bed, I just play a 5-minute game of chess, yeah, or something just small, just kind of relax and just have a good time.
Yeah, I love that. Completely, again, just mm-hmm. focus on that. That's awesome. That's cool. Blaine, I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me some time to get to know you, to get to know what's going on with the season and the team. And if nothing else today, I've also learned that go-karts don't have seat belts. So you blew my mind.
Yep, you're correct. We're supposed to fly out of the go-karts in case they flip, okay? It's safer, I promise.
I can't. A driver saying I'm supposed to fly. I just can't. It just doesn't sound natural.
Yeah, I'm glad I've never flipped because I don't want to be the one flying. But yeah, supposedly it's safer.
All right. Well, hopefully I never have to see that. But now I'm fascinated by it.
So that's what Google's for. That, YouTube.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try not to do that. Yeah, okay. Blaine, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
My thanks again to Blaine for coming on the show. We got to record that after Gateway. As I said there, he finished 22nd, then went out and improved with a 21st place finish at Sonoma. Had a little bit of a rough weekend on the dirt at Knoxville. I believe he was 25th, but that's what happens in a rookie season. It's going to come in waves, and I think Blaine has a great head on his shoulders. Again, really enjoyed talking to him, really impressed with him, and it'll be fun to see how he progresses. So thanks to Blaine for coming on the podcast, and thanks to Alicia Deal for helping coordinate and getting Blaine and I together so we could chat. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please leave a rating and review. You can do that either wherever you're listening to this podcast. I hope it's 5 stars. I hope you are enjoying it. Hit the follow and or subscribe button so that you'll get a new podcast in your feed every Monday morning. You can also let me know what you think on social media. Go to Twitter. My handle's at Kelly Crandall. It's also at Kelly Crandall over on Facebook. Just make sure you're looking for the public Facebook page. I can't stress that enough. I don't accept friend requests. I'm not on my personal page. There is nothing there useful for you that has to do with racing. So make sure you're looking for the public page. You'll see links for racer.com as well as the podcast. And you can also find me on Instagram, LinkedIn. I am all over the place if you want to interact with me wherever you are most comfortable on the internet. You can also go to Patreon. The link for that is in the show description of this episode, or just go to patreon.com/Kelly Crandall. That material is in addition to the podcast. It's another way to support the Racing Writers podcast as well as support me. There's different tiers that will give you access to different information, such as my show notes, which will be posted today because it is Monday. You will get preview clips for the next episode. You will know who the guests are going to be before anyone else, and so much more. So go to patreon.com/Kelly Crandall and check it out. That is all I have for you this week. That is episode 230. Next week, we're going to go back into the NHRA world and, well, we're going to talk to another up-and-coming driver, another rookie, Camry Caruso, driving for the family team in the Pro Stock division, and she's got a great personality and is already doing great things in just her first few races on that tour. So we're going to get to know Camry next week right here on the Racing Writers Podcast.